Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul writes this epistle from a prison cell. He's writing to the church at Philippi. He planted this church, and he was responsible for the salvation of many within this New Testament church. We can see from verse 20 that he doesn't know whether he will be killed or not. He's in prison. He's in a Roman prison. He has no assurance of leaving the prison. He doesn't know whether he will be killed or not. But he goes on to say in verses 20 and 21, he declares his genuine goal and expected end, according to my earnest expectation and hope. He went on to say, I am in nothing, I shall be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of my conduct in any way. I have lived. I have lived my life with boldness. In nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, I've tried to live with consistency. And then he goes on to say in verse 20, so now also. In other words, I'm going to continue to magnify Jesus Christ. With boldness, unashamedly, I have and will continue to magnify Jesus Christ, said the Apostle Paul. I will seek to magnify Jesus Christ before others so that they as well might see his fullness of glory. The word magnify means to enlarge. Most people have a minimal view of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm going to do everything in my power to magnify Christ, to enlarge Christ, so people see Christ. Then he went on to say in verse 20, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, in my life. And note this little phrase, whether it be by life or by death. In other words, the Apostle Paul was saying, my choice is to live fully for Jesus Christ. Whether I live on or whether I die. For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul had no assurance that he would ever leave, that he would leave this prison. He had no assurance that he would live another day. And that's why he declares there at the end of verse 20, whether it be by life or by death. He said, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing. I'm not ashamed of my conduct. But I've tried with holy boldness to magnify Christ. And whether this is the end point or whether I can continue, God's will be done. But rest assured, he said to the church of Philippi, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Living the way Jesus Christ lived and dying the way Jesus Christ died. This is what the Apostle Paul determined as he wrote to the church of Philippi, and charged them as well. So with this personal charge here in verse 21, as we read on, he fleshes out clearly how we also can live with passion for Jesus Christ. I think you'd all agree with me this morning that the Apostle Paul had a passion for Jesus Christ. He was passionate about Christ. There wasn't anything or anybody that occupied him that was superior to Jesus Christ. His passion was Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And we see that passion in the following verses. So this morning I'd like for you and I to just take some time out and just examine our own hearts. And let's ask the question, am I really passionate about living for Jesus Christ? First and foremost, we note then verse 22 that he desired spiritual fruit. He desired spiritual fruit. In magnifying Christ and living for Christ, the Apostle Paul desired fruit. In other words, the Apostle Paul said, I want what God wants. Note there verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, in other words, if I am granted freedom, if I live beyond tomorrow, next week, bearing in mind he's in prison. But if I live in the flesh, if God sees fit to spare my life, he said, this is the fruit of my labor. And note the last portion of verse 22. Yet what I shall choose, I want or want not. In other words, the Apostle Paul's attitude was, I want what God wants. Whether to spare me or whether to take me home, I want what God wants. He said, Yet what I shall choose naturally, that which is natural to me, that's not what I want. I want what you want, God, for my life. Therein lies a principle that reflects whether you and I genuinely have a passion for Jesus Christ. We all have personal aspirations, goals, wants, agendas, many not necessarily wrong in and of themselves, but to live a life for Jesus Christ with passion means that I want what God wants, whether by life or by death, he said. I know what I want, but I don't want what I want. I want what you want, God, for my life. That's living with passion for Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, do you really want what God wants for your life? Are we living for what we want, or are we living for what God wants? What are you and I living for? What kind of harvest are we sowing seed for and cultivating in the present? Is it a material or is it a spiritual? The danger of living for the things of this world is spelled out there in Galatians chapter 5, quickly. Galatians 5, 6 and 7. verses 7 and 8. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. The Apostle Paul desired spiritual fruit. He desired what God wanted. He said, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. The Apostle Paul's attitude was, I want what God wants. If I live, if God spares me, I want what God wants. Is that your attitude this morning? A passion for Jesus Christ means that you and I likewise will say, God, I want what you want. We're so selfish. We really are. We have a sinful nature. We're selfish to the core. At the end of the day, a spirit-filled Christian that is passionate about Christ will surrender self-will, self-desires, self-goal, and say, Jesus Christ alone is what I want, whether by life or by death. But also note then the 23rd verse. We have some further insight, Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, as to what it meant for the Apostle Paul to live for Christ, to be passionate about Christ. Not only we have seen in verse 22 that he wanted what God wanted. God continues to give him life. He said, I'm desiring fruit, spiritual fruit. I want what God wants. But note then, verse 23, I am in a strait betwixt two. I'm at a T-junction, said the Apostle Paul. Having a desire to depart. What's that in reference to? Death. He's in a prison cell. The Romans might choose to kill him. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. We see from verse 23 that the Apostle Paul really wanted to go to heaven. Would you agree? He really wanted to go to heaven. He knew it would be better to be in heaven. And here he is at a crossroad that will give him that opportunity to go to heaven. And he said, that would be far better to be in heaven. This was his hope. This is what he was looking forward to. In other words, the Apostle Paul lived in the reality that this physical life is only for a time, and it will come to pass. It is not permanent. And he understood and valued heaven is a better place. Let me ask you this morning, listen carefully. Do you really want to go to heaven? Do you really want to go to heaven? Oh, of course, Pastor. When I die, I'm going to heaven because I've received Jesus Christ as Savior. That's not my question. Do you really want to go to heaven? Therein lies how passionate you and I are about Jesus Christ. Right there. Do you really want to go to heaven? See, if we have a spirit-filled passion for Jesus Christ, we will want that which God considers better, which is to be translated into the eternal realm. Yes, we are to live our lives to the full. But also, a person that has a genuine passion for Christ, like the Apostle Paul, he understood in his experience that death is just around the corner. Here I am in a Roman prison. I might not live another day. But praise be to God, it'll be far better to be in heaven. I don't read of the Apostle Paul trying to escape. Are you listening to me? Whether by life or by death, for me to live is Christ and die is gain, because to go to heaven is far better. To be absent from this body, to be present with the Lord is far better. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I can understand why unsaved people fear death. It's understandable. To the point of denying it and try to avoid facing it. But for those of us that are saved, we should be able to face death with spiritual confidence. Our minds are locked within the framework of time, which is a problem. But God is eternal life, is he not? And he offers eternal life in Jesus Christ. And for those of us that have received God's gift of eternal life, we can look forward to heaven when we die, because we'll be better off. Pastor, what are you trying to say? It is not a matter of wanting to die. That's not what we're saying. It's a matter of looking forward to heaven. Do you really look forward to heaven? Heaven will be better. Yes, amen. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Why is it that only one person said amen? I'll tell you why. Because most of us lack a passion for Christ. Because if we're really passionate about Christ, we can't wait to get to heaven. And here's the Apostle Paul at a crossroad, and he's smiling from ear to ear. He said, this could be the opportunity. This might be my time. This could be it. Within a day, I will be in a better place. Maybe. He's not crying. He's not weeping. He's not trying to work out a way of escape. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Heaven is better because it is eternal. God will be there. We'll be changed in his likeness. And in Revelation 21:4, the Bible teaches us all tears will be wiped away. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. The former things have passed away. Heaven is a better place. Amen. And if we really believe that, then we will look forward to going to heaven instead of looking for that no-die pill. We'll accept the fact, oh, well, my time seems to be almost up. Thanks be to God, I'm looking forward to that better place. But we are so pathetic, so worldly and materialistic. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you and I should walk around wanting to die. But as Bible-believing Christians in Christ, there is a better place. And see, if we are really passionate in living for Jesus Christ, we will look forward to going to heaven. In other words, we will accept when it is our time. Did you get that? We'll accept it. God strikes you with terminal cancer. Praise God. Praise God. It seems like my time is drawing near. It might be just a little warning, but it might be time. So a person that's passionate about Christ, he thinks in the realm of eternity and, well, thank you, Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Sounds like you're wanting to take me home. Glory to God. Therein lies a person that has a passion for Jesus Christ. We will accept when it's our time, instead of disagreeing with God. I can't believe it's my time to die. Can't believe that. Really? Well, my Bible tells me it's the point under man wants to die. But I've got so much to do. Well, you've had time to do it. Why haven't you done it? Oh, dear. Certainly there's nothing wrong with doing what we can to extend our lives. Rest, exercise, and diet, they say. But at the end of the day, for those of us that are in Christ, we understand we're better off being in heaven. And if God sees fit to take you and I to heaven before your grand expected time, what's your attitude? Are you going to waste your life and money looking for some magic potion that's going to extend your life? Or are you going to be spiritual and say, okay, Lord, thy will be done. I'll go through the treatments. Okay. Whether by life or by death. I know heaven's a better place. King Hezekiah was told he was going to die. Wasn't happy. So what did he do? He prayed. What did God do? Extended his life. For how long? Another 15 years. Then he died. But if you read your Bible, those 15 years were not well spent. Are you listening to me? They were not well spent. He might as well have gone to glory 15 years before. But God in his graciousness heard his prayer. If you fear death and you won't accept that your time is coming up, you need to either get saved or you just need to grow a passion for Christ. Because if you do, like the Apostle Paul, you will look forward to heaven because it's better. We are better off being with Christ. I'm not saying we don't determine to live, but we accept the fact that our days are numbered. And the Apostle Paul said, until that day, I want what you want, and I understand that heaven is a better place. And if you choose, O God, to notify me that I will potentially be in heaven shortly, glory be to God. Amen. And also note there in verse 24, he went on to say, Philippians chapter 1, verse 24, Nevertheless, even though I'd rather go to heaven, nevertheless, to abide or to remain in the flesh is more needful for me or you? You. So the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Whether by life or by death, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. He was saying in essence, verse 22, I want what you want, God. And then in verse 23, I understand that heaven is a better place and I'll be happy and I'll accept that you're going to take me home because I'm better off. But nevertheless, he said in verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, to hang around a little bit longer, I believe is needful for you. See, Paul knew that heaven was yet future for him, because God still had work for him to do. Did he have any guarantee that he would survive this prison experience? No. Though he desired to go to heaven, he said, but I believe that God has something for me to do still. God still had work for him to do. Yes, he looked forward to heaven. He really believed that it's a better place. Yet he said, for now, I need to minister to you. See, because Paul the Apostle was passionate about living for Jesus Christ, he was fixed and focused on ministering the Word of God. And he was going to keep going until God chooses to call him home. He said, can we say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What about Acts 20:24? But none of these things moved me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's our problem. We consider our lives dear unto ourselves. We're selfish little things. He said, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Beloved, this morning, your spiritual benefit to others is the very thing that is keeping you here on this side of eternity. That's why you're still alive. As far as God's concerned, God has a job for you to do. And for most of us, we're not doing it. So we're just simply dead weights. Some of you here this morning, you are just dead weights. You do nothing for the glory of God. And for you, I say, you're on borrowed time. God's more gracious than me. I'm telling you. Don't push God. The Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. That's why he can say, whether by life or by death, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. Because up until this present, I've done everything in my power and strength and energy to magnify Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I'd rather go to heaven. Far better. But I believe, he said to the church at Philippi, it seems like God has some work for me to do still. My friend, eventually God will flick the switch of life to off and take you home. And my friend, only what is done for Christ will last. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It doesn't read to die is loss. To die is a regret. We have it all around the wrong way, don't we? To die is gain. If you are living for Christ, if you've been living for Christ, and God gives you your termination papers, you've got a week to live, no cure, your attitude is, well, I've been living for Christ, heaven's far better, glory be to God. Got to admit, it wasn't when I expected it, but who am I? Who am I? Who are you? We have life and breath for a purpose. And I challenge you in 2023, don't push God. Some of you are pushing God. Yeah. Pastor, are you threatening me? No, I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. Why do you think you exist? So you could just fill your treasure house with more treasures, buy another car, buy another property, go for another this, that, the other, buy more shoes, buy more clothes. What for? What for? Only what's done for Christ will last. And the Apostle Paul said, whether by life or death, I'm going to magnify Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Far better. Glory be to God. Sure. Sad in the sense that might not get to see so-and-so for a period of time. But it will be with Christ. If we're really passionate about Christ, that's what we would prefer. I don't want to live forever on this side of eternity. Pastor, don't you want to live to 100? Not necessarily. I want to live as long as God would have me to live. And as long as God would have me to live, I want to serve Christ. And that way I can be assured of the fact, to die is gain. How many have regrets in their last days? I didn't do A, B, C, D, E. Don't live with regrets. Live for Christ. Your days are numbered, my days are numbered. Set your affections on things above. Seek spiritual fruit. Because all of that worldly wealth, you're just going to leave it all behind. To what avail? To what avail? But that which is done for Christ is gain. For me to live is Christ. But to die is gain. If you and I are genuinely wanting to cultivate a passion for Jesus Christ, it will involve, number one, based upon verse 22, I will want what God wants. Not what you and I want, what God wants. Number two, I understand and look forward to heaven. I'll accept the fact when it's my time. Because to die is gain. And thirdly, until that time, I will serve my God. I will minister in understanding that I have a purpose to magnify Christ, to edify and build up others. I'll stay busy for God's glory. May God give us all a passion for Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer.